Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Quinn and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Quinn Jr.
Right, they won game one, and then the Padres, you know, spanked their backsides for the next three.
And Chris Ello.
Would you let me tell the story?
Yes.
Mr. Interrupter?
Yes, I will.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Quinn and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hello and welcome into the Scraby Show here, filling in for Gwen and Chris on a Friday. It's July 5th. I hope everybody had a great July 4th because I know that I did absolutely nothing yesterday and I loved every second of it. That's the beauty of, I guess, having a Thursday holiday is that you don't have, I mean, I guess if you have to work on Friday, there is nothing wrong with just sitting around and doing nothing on a holiday. And I love it. I was trying to get my guy Lucky, my dog, I was trying to get him in the pool, but I remembered probably shouldn't put a guy with a big old sore on his face in the pool. But I just wanted to say, like, I'm blown away by everyone who has reached out about this whole Lucky thing. And if you didn't hear, Lucky got something called a hot spot, which I guess is a common thing for dogs, but I had never heard of that before in my life. And it basically is just an infection that grows and grows. And so I took him to the vet, spent a lot of money at the vet, but he's my little boy, so I got to. And he's doing better. So thank you to everybody who's reached out about him, and thanks to everyone who gave me some advice about how to deal with this going forward, because it was scary. I'm not going to lie. I thought this guy had flesh-eating bacteria on his face. And the reason I thought that is because I'm me, and that's what I do. I tend to go to the craziest sort of things that are going to happen, and someone's going to jump out of their car and murder me one night or something like that. Like, I always think that way, but I need to start thinking a little bit, you know, less scary, because all it was just a simple infection, and I got the cream. He's on his way to recovery. Now, I do want to say this. I hope, because our neighborhood last night sounded, I don't know where these people are getting the fireworks, but our neighborhood sounded like we were, like, for lack of a better term, ground zero for the fireworks shows. Because it was like in our neighborhood, actual, real, big fireworks being lit off. And if you have a dog, I hope that you hugged your dog the entire time, because all of my dogs were going crazy. People, when you have fireworks, here I am, 3 minutes into the show, already on my soapbox. If you have fireworks, you gotta make sure you're doing it in places where dogs aren't gonna run away. It's crazy. Nick was telling me, and Nick's here with me in studio today. By the way, I'm Matt Scraby. I should probably say that. This is Gwen and Chris. I'm filling in for them today. They are off. We are going to hear from Chris a little bit later. I'm not sure what time, but he has been so excited about this Torrey Pines golf day, and he just texted me his results. So we're going to try to get him on later in the show so he could tell us all about that. But Nick was telling me before the show that one of his friend's dogs, I can't actually remember.
It was just a story on Reddit. There was a guy in Orange County that had a German Shepherd. It bit through like a metal fence, but luckily they found the dog like a few hours later. So
yeah, because he was scared. The dog was scared of the fireworks. But anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. We have a ton to do today. Like I said, we're going to be talking to Chris at some point. We're going to be talking for Friar Friday to relieving pitcher Stephen Kolek. He's going to be on the show. And after taking 2 of 3 from the defending champs this week, he must be feeling good. The team's got to be feeling good. So we're going to talk with him at 2:20. We're also going to talk about what are the Padres going to do when Xander Bogaerts gets back. And what about Luis Campusano? Because some of those questions right now have not really gone away. And they're getting stronger, as in, does Luis Campusano have a spot in this team anymore? So we'll talk about that. Also, Jesse Winker did something after their game yesterday that I have to bring up, because you're not allowed to celebrate, according to Jesse Winker. But Jesse Winker loved his celebration. Let me tell you that. He did. We'll talk about that, too. We also have all the other normal stuff for Gwynn and Chris. We'll talk. The countdown today is top 5 things I thought I was wrong about the Padres. So we'll go over that. We're also going to have not a Chris versus the fans, but we're going to have a different type of game for you out there. I'm basically gonna give you 2 players, and you're gonna tell me who has the better stats of the 2 players, depending on, like, if I ask you for their batting average or for their home runs. And so it's not as easy as you would think. MLB.com has like a game section where you can go, and I was doing this last weekend, where you just keep selecting the guy with the better stats, and you keep moving on, and you keep scoring points, and it's a lot harder than you would think it is. So we'll see how that goes at 4 o'clock, and then Big Five at 4:35, 4:40, as we usually do. But let's get into it, and let's talk about the Padres. And the Padres, they've now won 11 of their past 14 games. And I'm seeing a lot of this on X, which I kind of appreciate, because I've come to know them as the Doomers have been out and about early in this season for the Padres, and it was, this team is done. This team's not going to make the playoffs. This team needs a new GM. This team needs a new manager. This team needs new hitting coaches. This team. And I have learned over the years, I cannot react to a baseball season after 60 games, because so much changes throughout the year. Padres struggled to start. We know that. It was a roller coaster. As much as Mike Schilt doesn't want us to say it, it was a roller coaster. But that roller coaster right now is starting to get a little bit flat, which is a good thing. Or I guess I should say, if we're staying in the roller coaster example, the roller coaster is moving up, and it's still going up. And winning 11 of their past 14 games is something I think that I didn't fully expect, honestly, coming into the All-Star break, having the Padres being one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. And they absolutely are one of the hottest teams in baseball. You look at teams like the Yankees, which we'll get into the Yankees a little bit later. You look at teams like that, they have been bad lately. And they've lost a lot of games lately. And tells me baseball fans don't really change no matter what fan base you are, because they're already having a fire Aaron Boone game scheduled for later this season. So we'll talk about that in the Big Five. But Jurickson Profar said yesterday something that has told me that he has cemented his role as the leader of this team, the vocal leader of this team, because this team has different leaders. They have, maybe silent leaders like Manny Machado, who does his leading by playing on the field, and maybe some, meetings with the pitcher when they need it. But Jurickson Profar is someone who stands up in front of his locker, says how much he loves this team, says how much he wants to go to war with them, and then says this, which tells me everything I need to know about what is happening in that clubhouse. Jurickson Profar, after the game yesterday, said, "Now we are here, and I don't expect anything less from this team. There is no going back. I will be mad at everybody if we don't play at this level." And he was talking about going forward. So the focus now, Profar's singular focus, now that he's gotten an All-Star spot and he's going to be a starter in the All-Star game, which yesterday he put on a display as to why he's an All-Star again. But this tells me that this team, as much as they've struggled this year, they know they're right there. I mean, they are leading the wild card They're at the top of the wild card right now. So they have teams that are looking up at them. And if they continue to keep winning like they are, winning series, not even just, you know, putting together winning streaks, because I don't believe they've won six in a row yet in the season. But that doesn't matter. If you're winning series, you're piling up wins and you're incrementally getting away from the 500 mark, which is what they're doing right now. And even though I said I wasn't going to look at the standings, I still really haven't looked at the standings. But they are now four games over 500, and they're continuing. And they showed us this week alone, this weekend, from Friday until yesterday, going to Boston, taking 2 of 3 from Boston, not even taking 2 of 3, dominating 2 of 3 games in Boston, and then heading over to Texas to take on the world champions or defending world champions and taking 2 of 3 from them as well. Now, they lost those two in the middle right there, and we were all like, oh, here we go again. Are they going to go and lose 5 in a row? No, they stopped the slide. And they got back on their winning ways. And I think that's huge. I think that's a lot. It's very telling about the team. Nick, what do you got?
I agree. I think, you know, when you look at it in totality, they take, if they're going to take 2 or 3, 3 or 4 and lose a few in a row, it's not the worst thing. But they have, it seems like when they go and lay an egg, they laid an egg. When was that? 2, 3 days ago?
I wouldn't even call that laying an egg.
Well, they didn't score any runs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. What did they lose to the Red Sox? 4-1 or something like that?
I think it was the Red Sox and the Rangers. They lost, what, 7-0
first game? Yeah. I'm willing to throw that out. Nathan Eovaldi was good.
They still
really
take
good.
That series, and it's like, you know, they have a tendency to bounce back when they don't play well. So that's a good sign for sure.
Yeah, we're seeing it now. We're absolutely seeing it now. And Jerickson Profar is saying that there's no going back, and he's going to be mad at everybody. Tells me that I don't have anything to worry about in this clubhouse. Last year, I remember us talking about comments that Manny Machado made, or at least comments that were made about Manny Machado, and Kevin Acey wrote the article talking to different guys in the clubhouse. And there was no sense of a leadership structure within the clubhouse. But now that Jerickson Profar is here and he's playing as well as he is, it's really, 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 really easy to become the leader of a team when you're hitting 320 and you're hitting home runs all the time and you're throwing out guys from left field like you did to Garcia yesterday. Like, it's really easy to be a leader, but this is what he was born for. This is what Jerickson Profar was born for. He's continuing his magical season, and he's also really, really, really bothering people around baseball, which yesterday, I'm sure you've already heard it, but the Rangers broadcast, after Jerickson hit his home run late in the game, they were very upset with the trot he had, the home run trot. They were very, very, very upset with how long it took him to run around the bases. And it's like, why? Jerickson Profar is one of the nicest guys in baseball, until you mess with him. And that's what I love about him, is because he kind of is that guy that you can be friends with, but you never cross, because once you cross him, you are an enemy.
I think Will Smith started all this, right?
Oh, Will Smith definitely started by saying he was irrelevant, and then Jerickson Profar the next day hits almost a grand slam, but he hits it off the top of the fence. He clears the bases. That wasn't irrelevant. Being an all-star starter is not irrelevant. I don't think Will Smith is in the all-star game, so I keep talking trash to Jerickson Profar, please.
And just how he handled Washington, that was the game I actually worked that game. That was one of the funnest games I've ever worked, being in baseball for like 5 years. And he just, you got to love how Machado stuck up for him. And you also got to love how Jerickson doesn't chirp. He just smiles and he's like, okay, I'm going to play now. And that's what he does.
Yeah.
And he does it really well.
You're right. I'm not comparing myself to Jerickson Profar in any other way other than the fact that I am really good at annoying people. And he kind of is like me in a way where he doesn't say much when there's like a brouhaha happening, but he will make that one comment that gets under your skin that sends you into the next millennia because you're so angry about it. And if Jerickson Profar is going to do that for our team and for our city, then I'm all for it. I want someone like that. I want someone who people know, all right, we can't mess with this guy. We can't mess with this team. And I don't think we've talked, we could talk 4 hours about Jerickson Profar and still not cover how important he is for this team this year. And the Padres, I actually tweeted something to the Padres yesterday, or at least replied to one of their tweets, and I said, Profar is the real sheriff. And they replied with El Patron, which means the boss in Spanish. I know a lot of people know what that means, but I just will say it anyway. I love that nickname for Jurickson Profar, El Patron. Let's just call him the boss going forward because he is awesome. We still have a ton to talk about. We need to go to break because we will have Stephen Kolek on the other side, but we're still going to be talking about Michael King and where he stands for the rest of the season. He had a good start yesterday. We still have to talk about why the Padres are playing better baseball. And I want to go over something with Jeremiah Estrada because he struggled, but there is a reason for that. I know a lot of you know the reason for that, but I want to discuss that a little bit. But when we get back here on Gwynn and Chris, we are going to go into our Friar Friday, and we're going to talk to Padres relieving pitcher Stephen Kolek. So stay right there. We'll have him on the line when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. I am Matt Scraby, filling in for the guys today. Chris is going to join us a little bit later, I think, and tell us about his day at Torrey Pines. Tony Gwynn Jr. actually has a real weekend off. No radio duties for us. No Padres radio duties. So Tony will not be joining us today, and that's okay because he definitely deserves some time off. But right now, I am very excited and would like to bring on Stephen Kolek, Padres relieving pitcher here on Friar Friday. And Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today on July 5th, the day after July 4th, as everybody knows. Appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I just wanted to actually talk real quick first about your last series. You guys took 2 of 3 from the defending champs, but this series was actually, for you personally, much bigger because you are a Texas guy. You got to pitch in front of your family this week. I can't even imagine. What was that like to pitch in front of your family?
Oh, man, it was a dream come true. I had probably 60 or so people come out over that weekend and or those 3 days, and to have a lot of people from my hometown come up, and then all the people from my side of the family, and then my wife's side of the family that, you know, we've gotten so close with over the years since we've been together, and to have everybody there supporting me and just to be a part of it with me, it meant the world to me.
I'm sure it meant the world to you. 60 people is a lot of people to support you. Do you get a little nervous when your family was there? Like, I think I would be more comfortable without my family there, but do you pitch better when your family's in the stands watching?
You know, it definitely brings a different edge to it because, you know, you never want to disappoint them. And being that that was the first time that a lot of them have gotten to see me in probably 10 years, you know, from high school or you know, maybe a little less time from college. But the first time they've gotten to really see me pitch professionally, you know, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of build up to it. So it's like definitely I feel the urge to perform more. But really, it's just trying to calm the nerves and just get the job done and stay to the routine. Don't do anything too extra.
And we're talking to Steve Okolik right now, Padres relieving pitcher on 97.3 The Fan for Friar Friday. And you had a really, really great June. I think you only gave up one run in the month of June. And you were talking about stay with the routine, just do what you know what you're doing. But how do you keep doing that on a day in and day out basis? Because with success, for me at least, I tend to kind of, you know, fade out on doing everything I need to be doing to be successful. But how do you keep your focus on being successful each and every outing?
Really, kind of, you know, I talk a lot about the routine, and that to me is everything. And it's not getting, you know, too far. You know, it's not live or die that, you know, if you don't do exactly your routine one day, you're going to have a bad day. Like, you can have a bad routine day and still manage to get through it. But when you stack up those little victories of just kind of do checking the boxes of things you need to get done and stay true to yourself. You don't have to overdo it. Just stay true to that and surround yourself with good people. And that's what we have a lot of here is great teammates and people to help get you to where you need to be mentally and physically.
I want to talk about one of those great teammates right now. We're talking to Steve Okolik right now for Friar Friday. And Jurickson Profar, he has been incredible for this team this year, and he has become somewhat of a de facto leader of the team. What kind of leader is Jurickson? What do we not see that we should know about him?
I mean, Jurickson, he's a great guy. I mean, he's so much fun to watch on the field, and he brings so much of that energy that y'all see on the field. He brings that in the locker room, too. And you know, when you see somebody having that kind of success, it just makes you want to work a little bit harder and follow his footsteps and try and, you know, be there with him. And then he's picking us up all the time, so you never want to let him down. So he just try and motivates you to be a little bit better every day.
What was that moment like for you as a clubhouse when Jurickson was announced as the starter for the National League team?
Yeah, I think it was no surprise to us. I mean, that guy, he's been killing it all year, and I think everybody would have been pretty upset if he wasn't. So everybody was extremely excited for him, and you know, we gave him a big round of applause and many congratulations. So, yeah, again, super happy for the guy.
Yeah, we're talking to Steve Okolik, and we want to get back to you, Steven, because a few weeks ago, maybe even closer to a month ago, you were called into a game against the A's. Bases were loaded, nobody out. I was nervous sitting watching the game. I'm sure that you were doing your routine, but you got out of that inning without giving up a run. So my question to you is, like, when you're called upon to come into a game that has such a high leverage spot like you were in, how does your you already told me it's all about the routine, it's all about staying within yourself, but what's your mindset coming into a situation like that, knowing that if you give up a run, it might end up losing the game?
Yeah, I mean, those thoughts are definitely easy to keep into the head, but really, I try and do my best to focus on that pitch right there, and I know the moment's huge, I know it's a big situation, but I sound like a broken record right
no,
now,
no, no.
But it's you know, staying within yourself is for me, that's the key, is not letting myself get, you know, like overly excited or too down on myself. It's just trying to find that right amount of energy and focus that I need to have. And, you know, it's easy to get sped up in those situations, but, if you know where that, you know, concentration level needs to be at, it's just executing that one pitch at a time. And thankfully, we were able to get out of that unscathed.
Yeah, and we're talking to Steve Okolik here, Padres relieving pitcher for the Friar Friday is what I'm trying to say here. And your team is playing really well right now. You guys just got back from a road trip where you won two series and you went 4-2. I don't want to ask what's changed, because I don't think necessarily anything's changed, but when you start winning, like, what it's infectious, but what can you guys take from the role that you're on right now and try to continue that throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, we're playing some great baseball right now, and I'd say we're pretty hot. And you know, we've played some great competition, and to you know, we've been up and we've been down, and still managed to find a way to come through to get a victory. So I think from that, you know, it shows a lot of grit and determination to win amongst the team, and we know that we can in any situation. So it's just a matter of getting the job done.
Talking to Stephen Kolek, and last question for me, Stephen. Thank you so much for joining us here on Friar Friday. I know you got a lot going on down at the ballpark, but there's a lot of haters out there. There's a lot of people that want to see the Padres fail. There's a lot of people within baseball that want to see the Padres fail. But you guys are not listening to that. You guys are continuing to play your good stuff. But as a team, I'm sure that individually there's something different, but as a team, how do you guys block out the noise?
You know, I think, you know, we get so busy, like you said, we're busy here at the field all the time, and everybody, you go in the locker room, everybody's busy doing something with their own routines, and I think that's probably part of it, is if we just stay busy and you keep your head down and you keep working hard, and you do start doing the little things, the rest of that background noise just kind of goes away, and before you know it, we're hot and we're playing well and looking to make a late season run here, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you guys are definitely doing that right now. Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for joining us here on Friar Friday. I appreciate your time, and I wish you continued success with the Padres.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on again.
Of course. Thank you for joining us. I will be a fan of Stephen Kolek forever now for joining us here on 97.3 The Fan. Thank you for him. Thank you to the staff for putting that together and helping him get on the phone with me today. But Stephen Kolek's been a really, really important part of this team. We've seen him a lot this year. And I didn't necessarily want to ask him this, even though I kind of went down a route that I didn't want to go by saying, if you give up a run, you're going to lose a game. But Stephen Kolek has a different type of pressure on him because he's a Rule 5 draft guy. And I learned this earlier this year. You are not able to be demoted to AAA or any other sort of minor league team when you are a Rule 5 draft guy. You have to be on the roster all season long. And that definitely, I think that's probably something that's comforting as well as terrifying at the same time, because what happens if you're just not good and you have nowhere to go where you can refine your skills? But it takes a certain type of person, I think, to jump into that sort of role, and it takes a certain type of person to continuing to pitch even though things may not be great at the moment. Because I remember that Kansas City Royals game. Every pitcher has a bad game. Come on. We can't be like every... On that night, yeah, we were kind of frustrated with Stephen Kolek. But since then, he's only given up one run in the month of June. And I got to give him credit for that, because it would be really difficult to be someone who gives up five runs and know that the fan base is just that, you know, on top of you on social media, all this other stuff. But Stephen Kolek, he's done some pretty good things, like the A's, getting out of that. He's come in tough situations where he needed to get outs, and he did. He's also come in situations where they're up by nine runs. And, you know, at times there have been some runs given up, but for the most part, Stephen Kolek has been really, really good for the Padres this year. And he's a important bullpen piece that we're going to continue to see all season long. So thanks again to Stephen Kolek for joining me on Friar Friday. I feel like the show is just flying by. Whenever I get to do this by myself, the big show, I feel like it just flies by. I feel like everything is, you know, when I drive home, I'm like, what did I even talk about? Do I even want to listen to the podcast? How many people are telling me that I stink out there? But we are going to get back into the fun, because when we get back, I got to tell you about this Jesse Winker thing. And I got to tell you something about Nick DiNucci, who's in studio with me. I think you guys are going to probably like this more than the Jesse Winker stuff. But Nick did something there with Stephen Kolek that it wasn't, there's nothing wrong with it. But I have identified with it so many times in my radio career. And we're going to talk about it when we get back on 97.3 The Fan. Back here in the Odyssey Palace, Gwen and Chris, I'm Matt Scraby, filling in for the guys today. Thank you to Stephen Kolek for joining me. I always get nervous when I do interviews. I'm not going to lie. I'm not really a social person to begin with, but when I'm interviewing a baseball player too, a professional baseball player, a little bit nervous.
But it just means you care.
It does. Yeah. 100%. Thank you, Nick DiNucci here.
It just means you care.
As Tony said, let me start that over. I've been misspeaking all day. Nick DiNucci here, pressing the ones and twos for us today. The guys will be back on Monday. And we're going to continue with this fun show that we got so far. And I would like to appreciate Rod. He says the dynamic duo is gelling. And that is Nick and myself.
Shout out Rod one time.
Yeah, well, not one time. Rod is always shout outs. Yeah, Rod is one of the Scrabinators that is always in the chat. Same with M. McKee. I'm just going to stop naming people. Maria, because I don't want to make anybody... I don't want to make anybody mad that I left them out. Brandon says, surprised Tony isn't on the show since he's got the game anyways. You may have missed this, Brandon, but Tony is off for the entire weekend. So good for him. He is going to get some nice relaxation over the weekend. He deserves it. It's about over the midway point. If you don't know, Tony has an insane life schedule. And if you don't know, Tony doesn't get much time to himself anymore, so I'm glad that he's going to get these next couple days off. We are going to talk to Chris Ello later in the show about his foray into Torrey Pines South. He sent me a whole text about his results, and I don't necessarily believe what he said, but I know he wouldn't lie to me, so I should just believe it as well. All right. What did Nick do before we took the phone call from Stephen Kolek that I thought was hilarious? Well, here's a little behind the scenes. So people call in when we get our Padres players. For the most part, Padres PR finds them at the ballpark, calls us, hands them the phone when we're ready, and that's how we talk to them. But I remember when I was working way back when on a morning show on a different radio station. We used to have like the big timers of the Chargers call in. So we used to have Philip Rivers call in. We used to have like Antonio Gates called in one time. And I was so nervous to talk to these people, even though I was just saying, put you on the air. Or hello, let me put you on hold. Then you're going to be with the guys. Well, Nick now has answered two phone calls for us in the guest department. And it's hilarious to me every time because Nick goes into it, I think, you can tell us, Nick, in a second, but you go into it thinking, I'm going to answer this phone, I'm going to do it great, and I'm not going to be nervous about it, and then you answer the phone and things go a little haywire.
Yeah,
so
no, you
what
actually,
happened? What happens in your head? Do you get a little nervous or
yeah,
what?
I think you don't realize who you're talking to until you actually are talking to them. If that makes sense. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I remember when you guys had me called Buster Olney, and I just like, you just hear the voice, you're like, damn, this is the guy that actually does the thing on ESPN. And it's like, wow. It's humbling, though, and it's cool. And I think, you know, like for that call, it was JP answered for Steven, and then Steven answered. It's like, oh, this is actually a Major League Baseball pitcher. But
yeah,
it just means you care, you know?
It does.
It's cool, though. It's a humbling experience, for sure.
It is, but it's hilarious to me because I was there so many times.
Right,
I remember one time, it was a bye week for the Chargers, and I picked up the phone, and I asked Philip Rivers, because I thought this was like, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks into the year, so he had been calling every week. I had been answering every week, so he knows my voice to a certain extent. And so I decided I was going to chat with him, and I was going to ask him some questions about his bye week. What is he doing? What has he got planned? Is he going on vacation? And it wasn't Philip Rivers' fault. He was just prepared to go on the show. He wasn't prepared to have a conversation with me. And I will never live it down with those guys because it was so hilarious that I was trying to have this conversation. I was so nervous that I was making every single time he called in weird from there on after because I apologized the next week. Anyway, I wanted to let everybody in on that because you may think working the board and radio is fun, and it is, for sure. But it's also you got some time where you're a little bit nervous as well.
Definitely some nerve-wracking, stressful parts to go along with it. But that's kind of also the good part, too, because you're only going to get better at it.
Yeah.
And you're only going to learn more about yourself during that experience. So it's a humbling time, for sure.
If you guys can't tell, Nick and I are kind of aligned in the way of like we learn from our life experiences. We like to look back on our life experiences. We like to analyze our life experiences, which is why Nick and I are probably similar in the way of Sorry, Nick, I'm going to lump you in here a little bit neurotic, so.
No, I don't. No offense taken, because it's accurate.
So. Okay. All right, so the celebration that happened yesterday in the nation's capital, and I was not talking about the 4th of July fireworks, which I did see a whole documentary about yesterday, and it's very interesting how they do these fireworks. You should go look for a firework documentary. I don't remember the name of it. It was actually on CNN, but I was watching this thinking it was great. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is Washington National Jesse Winker. You may remember him last week going into the stands, trying to fight an older man. You may remember him being very upset with Jurickson Profar, jogging around the bases slowly after he hit his grand slam. You may remember the walk-off everybody was really, really angry at Jurickson Profar for. But Jesse Winker said no one should ever, 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 ever celebrate like they did after a home run. Well, guess what? Yesterday, Jesse Winker hit the go-ahead home run in the eighth inning, and he put on a flag jacket, and he had a Uncle Sam hat, and he just continued to wear that for the rest of the game. And there's a picture of him in the Nationals ended up winning this game 1-0. Mets only got one hit in this one. So, Jesse Winker did hit the go-ahead game-winning home run, but it's really funny to me. It's very funny to see him standing there looking like Uncle Sam after he had such an issue with Jurickson Profar and what he did. You can't be calling out people. I try not to do this. I try not to call out people and then do something that I called them out for, which this is exactly what Jesse Winker's doing. He called out Jurickson Profar for having a celebration, and then he does the same thing where he's wearing this Uncle Sam getup and thinking he's really cool. And you know what, Jesse Winker? Next time you come to town, you're going to get a big old boo, I bet.
I have a little interesting tidbit. So my first time having a dump radio here or dump audio here was when Winker, it was that game where it got real chippy with the Nationals. Was that like a week ago?
Yes.
And so he comes around the bases. He says, you know, let's beat these MFers. Let's effing go. And granted, it was really early in the game. He just hit a 2-run shot. So his adrenaline's going. I give him that. But the response that that the Padres gave was quite, you know, especially the fact that Jurickson was the one to hit the grand slam that game after the little spat earlier in the game with the catcher. I forget his name. It was Ruiz.
Kevin Ruiz,
yeah.
Yes.
And just the whole thing with Ruiz and Winker and the older gentleman before that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you shouldn't, like, if you're going to trash talk that early in the game, you got to be careful about it, because now you're going to light a fire under all these guys' rear ends for the next, what, seven innings,
yeah.
Six innings. And so they're
just
the contradictory nature, though, like what you say, like he has the wig. And
oh,
like,
yeah, they put the wig on after they hit home runs.
Yeah, it's like they're getting upset about other people celebrating, but you guys need to look in the mirror just for a second. And it doesn't seem like they're quite as self-aware.
Oh, I don't think he cares at all.
Be.
I don't think he cares at all that he's going back on something he complained about a week before, which he probably shouldn't. But it doesn't mean that I don't have the right on a San Diego sports radio station to talk about
right.
him wearing the Uncle Sam getup after he hit a home run and celebrated it like it was the last home run he ever hit. So,
right.
I mean, I get it. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to be in Washington, D.C. for the 4th of July. It's kind of cool to play for the Nationals on 4th of July, but it's not cool to call out a whole team for celebrating and then celebrate yourself.
Exactly. Just the hypocritical nature of it is quite evident.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry, Eric. I forgot you when I was talking about all the great listeners. Eric also is a great listener as well. Same with Brandon and same with Dan. Reed said Winker's excuse is going to be that it was the 4th of July, which it's a great excuse.
Fair enough. Also, go ahead. Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say, I do want to shout out all the regulars that are in the pre and post during Sam's show. You guys make this a very fun.
This is a Sam Levitt-free zone, Nick. I don't know if you knew that, but Sam Levitt is my enemy for today because he's working so hard.
Some of the viewers got offended that I wasn't including them, that I gave Rod a shout out by name. So let it be known that you're all loved and appreciated. And
yes.
If I don't name you singularly, then you're all still noted and appreciated very much.
Correct. If you want to join this little community we're building on YouTube, you can just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You will find the live show right now. You can also go to Facebook. You can also go to X 97.3 The Fan SD as well. All right, before we get to the end of the hour, I wanted to talk about Xander Bogaerts and Luis Campusano and what are they going to do with these guys when they get back? Xander Bogaerts, he has actually begun his rehab assignment. He was in AAA El Paso yesterday, serving as the DH. He went 1-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout. And we know that he fractured his left shoulder during a game against the Braves in May 20th. He was, obviously he was struggling, but he was starting to find his way at the plate. And he was starting to inch that batting average up with each game. And so the injury to Xander Bogaerts came, I think, at a really bad time for him. But I also think that this could be a good thing for Xander Bogaerts because he could reset a little bit. He could try to, I don't know what they did during the time that he was hurt. Maybe he watches film. Maybe he goes in the cage and just kind of works on things that he can work on. But I think this is a really good thing for Xander Bogaerts that he – I hate to say it, but he got injured because it's a way for him to rest up and be ready for the second half of the season. And I think this is what's going to happen. And it's not a crazy take by me at all. I mean, it's what they did in the beginning of the year. They're probably going to move Jake Cronenworth back to first. They're going to put Xander Bogaerts back at second. And they're going to move Luis Arraez to permanent DH. I think that's what they're going to do because it's the only thing that really makes sense. I mean, Luis Arraez... I love Luis Arraez. I do not love Luis Arraez's defense. That's what I do not love. And he never was a guy that was supposed to come over and be a defensive magician. But there have been times where Luis Arraez has cost the Padres because of his lack of being able to play defense. And that doesn't matter when you're getting a hit every time you're up and you're getting on base every time you're up. But with... There were so many people that were so excited about Xander Bogaerts getting injured that I actually couldn't believe it, A. And B, I was a little disenchanted with some of the people out there because this was a bad thing for the team. Now, I say that with the caveat they're winning more than they had all year right now, and they're winning more than they have all year without Yu Darvish, without Joe Musgrove, without Fernando Tatis Jr., where they're doing all of this without their big four, and that's pretty incredible.
That is.
But when Xander Bogaerts gets back, I'm going to welcome him back into this lineup as soon as I can because I think that he is that much of a difference. Although his batting average in the beginning of the year, his slugging, his OPS, all that stuff wasn't up to par with what he's done in his career, I do think that inserting him back into the lineup is going to give this whole lineup another different look. And maybe there was like a couple games where Luis Arraez was on the team with Xander Bogaerts while he was still active, but there haven't been many games that they've played together. So I really want to see what Xander Bogaerts and Luis Arraez can do in the lineup together. I know that Jake Cronenworth is a great second baseman, but he's too valuable to obviously take out of the lineup, but he's too valuable because he can play pretty much any position you want him to play in the infield. He can probably play any position you want in the outfield, maybe not center field.
I do have a quick question.
Yes, what's up?
Because I see Brandon and Dan, I think, in the chat. Let me just make sure I got the name right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was Brandon and Dan. I was wondering the same thing. What do you think they do with Solano? Because he's produced pretty effectively.
It's a great question. I think that Solano... here's a little preview of my countdown of top five things I was wrong about the Padres
Donnie
coming
Barrels
into the year.
Time,
Donnie Barrels, yes.
Yes, he's been killing it.
I was wrong about him. He has been huge for this team. He's going to have to stay in the lineup. There's zero chance of him. The problem is, as you just asked, where are they going to put him?
Right.
And on certain days, I think, Manny's back into playing third base pretty much every single day at this point. He's not going to be... Back here in the Odyssey Palace, Gwen and Chris, I'm Matt Scraby filling in for the guys today. Thank you to Stephen Kolick for joining me. I always get nervous when I do interviews. I'm not going to lie. I'm not really a social person to begin with, but when I'm interviewing a baseball player too, a professional baseball player, a little bit nervous.
But it just means you care.
It does. Yeah. 100%. Thank you, Nick DiNucci here.
It just means you care.
As Tony said, let me start that over. I've been misspeaking all day. Nick DiNucci here, pressing the ones and twos for us today. The guys will be back on Monday, and we're going to continue with this fun show that we got so far. And I would like to appreciate Rod. He says the dynamic duo is gelling, and that is Nick and myself.
Shout out Rod one time.
Yeah, well, not one time. Rod is always shout-outs. Yeah, Rod is one of the Scrabinators that is always in the chat. Same with M. McKee. I'm just going to stop naming people. Maria, because I don't want to make anybody... I don't want to make anybody mad that I left them out. Brandon says, surprised Tony isn't on the show since he's got the game anyways. You may have missed this, Brandon, but Tony is off for the entire weekend. So good for him. He is going to get some nice relaxation over the weekend. He deserves it. It's about over the midway point. If you don't know, Tony has an insane life schedule. And if you don't know, Tony doesn't get much time to himself anymore, so I'm glad that he's going to get these next couple days off. We are going to talk to Chris Ello later in the show about his foray into Torrey Pines South. He sent me a whole text about his results, and I don't necessarily believe what he said, but I know he wouldn't lie to me, so I should just believe it as well. All right. What did Nick do before we took the phone call from Stephen Kolek that I thought was hilarious? Well, here's a little behind the scenes. So people call in when we get our Padres players. For the most part, Padres PR finds them at the ballpark, calls us, hands them the phone when we're ready, and that's how we talk to them. But I remember when I was working way back when on a morning show on a different radio station. We used to have like the big timers of the Chargers call in. So we used to have Philip Rivers call in. We used to have like Antonio Gates call in one time. And I was so nervous to talk to these people, even though I was just saying, put you on the air. All right. Hello. Let me put you on hold. Then you're going to be with the guys. Well, Nick now has answered two phone calls for us in the guest department. And it's hilarious to me every time because Nick goes into it, I think. You can tell us, Nick, in a second. But you go into it thinking, I'm going to answer this phone. I'm going to do it great. And I'm not going to be nervous about it. And then you answer the phone and things go a little haywire.
Yeah,
so
you
what happened? What happens in your head? Do you get a little nervous or what?
I think you don't realize who you're talking to until you actually are talking to them. If that makes sense. You know what
I mean?
I remember when you guys had me called Buster Olmey, and I just like, you just hear the voice, you're like, damn, this is the guy that's actually does the thing on ESPN. And it's like, wow. It's humbling, though, and it's cool. And I think, you know, like for that call, it was JP answered for Steven, and then Steven answered. It's like, oh, this is actually a Major League Baseball pitcher. But
yeah,
it just means you care, you know?
It does.
It's cool, though. It's a humbling experience, for sure.
It is, but it's hilarious to me because I was there so many times.
Right,
I remember one time, it was a bye week for the Chargers, and I picked up the phone, and I asked Philip Rivers, because I thought this was like, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks into the year, so he had been calling every week. I had been answering every week, so he knows my voice to a certain extent. And so I decided I was going to chat with him, and I was going to ask him some questions about his bye week. What is he doing? What has he got planned? Is he going on vacation? And it wasn't Philip Rivers' fault. He was just prepared to go on the show. He wasn't prepared to have a conversation with me. And I will never live it down with those guys because it was so hilarious that I was trying to have this conversation. I was so nervous that I was making every single time he called in weird from there on after because I apologized the next week. Anyway, I wanted to let everybody in on that because you may think working the board and radio is fun, and it is, for sure. But it's also you got some time where you're a little bit nervous as well.
Definitely some nerve-wracking, stressful parts to go along with it. But that's kind of also the good part, too, because you're only going to get better at it.
Yeah.
And you're only going to learn more about yourself during that experience. So it's a humbling time, for sure.
If you guys can't tell, Nick and I are kind of aligned in the way of, like, we learn from our life experiences. We like to look back on our life experiences. We like to analyze our life experiences, which is why Nick and I are probably similar in the way of, sorry, Nick, I'm going to lump you in here, a little bit neurotic. So
no, I don't. No offense taken, because it's accurate.
Okay. All right. So the celebration that happened yesterday in the nation's capital, and I was not talking about the 4th of July fireworks, which I did see a whole documentary about yesterday, and it's very interesting how they do these fireworks. You should go look for a firework documentary. I don't remember the name of it. It was actually on CNN. But I was watching this thinking it was great. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is Washington National Jesse Winker. You may remember him last week going into the stands trying to fight an older man. You may remember him being very upset with Jurickson Profar jogging around the bases slowly after he hit his grand slam. You may remember the walk-off everybody was really, really angry at Jurickson Profar for. But Jesse Winker said no one should ever, 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 ever celebrate like they did after a home run. Well, guess what? Yesterday, Jesse Winker hit the go-ahead home run in the eighth inning, and he put on a flag jacket, and he had a Uncle Sam hat, and he just continued to wear that for the rest of the game. And there's a picture of him in the Nationals ended up winning this game 1-0. Mets only got one hit in this one, so. Jesse Winker did hit the go-ahead game-winning home run, but it's really funny to me. It's very funny to see him standing there looking like Uncle Sam after he had such an issue with Jurickson Profar and what he did. You can't be calling out people. I try not to do this. I try not to call out people and then do something that I called them out for, which this is exactly what Jesse Winker's doing. He called out Jurickson Profar for having a celebration, and then he does the same thing where he's wearing this Uncle Sam getup and thinking he's really cool. And you know what, Jesse Winker? Next time you come to town, you're going to get a big old boo, I bet.
I have a little interesting tidbit. So my first time having a dump radio here or dump audio here was when Winker, it was that game where it got real chippy with the Nationals. What was that, like a week ago?
Yes.
And so he comes around the bases. He says, you know, let's beat these MFers. Let's effing go. And granted, it was really early in the game. He just hit a two-run shot, so his adrenaline's going. I give him that. But the response that the Padres gave was quite, you know, especially the fact that Jurickson was the one to hit the grand slam that game after the little spat earlier in the game with the catcher. I forget his name. It was Ruiz.
Cavert Ruiz,
yeah.
Yes.
And just the whole thing with Ruiz and Winker and the older gentleman before that went viral.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you shouldn't, like, if you're going to trash talk that early in the game, you got to be careful about it, because now you're going to light a fire under all these guys' rear ends for the next, what, seven innings,
yeah.
Six innings. And so they're
just
the contradictory nature, though, like what you say, like he has the wig. And
they put the wig on after they hit home runs.
Yeah, it's like they're getting upset about other people celebrating, but you guys need to look in the mirror just for a second. And it doesn't seem like they're quite as self-aware.
Oh, I don't think he cares at all. I don't think he cares at all that he's going back on something he complained about a week before, which he probably shouldn't. But it doesn't mean that I don't have the right on a San Diego sports radio station to talk about
right.
him wearing the Uncle Sam getup after he hit a home run and celebrated it like it was the last home run he ever hit. So,
right.
I mean, I get it. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to be in Washington, D.C. for the 4th of July. It's kind of cool to play for the Nationals on 4th of July, but it's not cool to call out a whole team for celebrating and then celebrate yourself.
Exactly. Just the hypercritical nature of it is quite evident.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sorry, Eric. I forgot you when I was talking about all the great listeners. Eric also is a great listener as well. Same with Brandon and same with Dan. Reed said Winker's excuse is going to be that it was the 4th of July, which is a great excuse.
Fair enough. Also, go ahead. Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say, I do want to shout out all the regulars that are in the pre and post during Sam's show. You guys make this a very fun.
This is a Sam Levitt-free zone, Nick. I don't know if you knew that, but Sam Levitt is my enemy for today because he's working so hard.
Some of the viewers got offended that I wasn't including them, that I gave Rod a shout out by name. So let it be known that you're all loved and appreciated. And
yes.
If I don't name you singularly, then you're all still noted and appreciated very much.
Correct. Correct. If you want to join this little community we're building on YouTube, you can. Just go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan. You will find the live show right now. You can also go to Facebook. You can also go to X 97.3 The Fan SD as well. All right. Before we get to the end of the hour, I wanted to talk about Xander Bogaerts and Luis Campusano and what are they going to do with these guys when they get back? Xander Bogaerts, he has actually begun his rehab assignment. He was in AAA El Paso yesterday, serving as the DH. He went 1-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout. And we know that he fractured his left shoulder during a game against the Braves in May 20th. He was, obviously he was struggling, but he was starting to find his way at the plate. And he was starting to inch that batting average up with each game. And so the injury to Xander Bogaerts came, I think, at a really bad time for him. But I also think that this could be a good thing for Xander Bogaerts because he could reset a little bit. He could try to, I don't know what they did during the time that he was hurt. Maybe he watches film. Maybe he goes in the cage and just kind of works on things that he can work on. But I think this is a really good thing for Xander Bogaerts that he – I hate to say it, but he got injured because it's a way for him to rest up and be ready for the second half of the season. And I think this is what's going to happen. And it's not a crazy take by me at all. I mean, it's what they did in the beginning of the year. They're probably going to move Jake Cronenworth back to first. They're going to put Xander Bogaerts back at second. And they're going to move Luis Arraez to permanent DH. I think that's what they're going to do because it's the only thing that really makes sense. I mean, Luis Arraez... I love Luis Arraez. I do not love Luis Arraez's defense. That's what I do not love. And he never was a guy that was supposed to come over and be a defensive magician. But there have been times where Luis Arraez has cost the Padres because of his lack of being able to play defense. And that doesn't matter when you're getting a hit every time you're up and you're getting on base every time you're up. But with... There were so many people that were so excited about Xander Bogaerts getting injured that I actually couldn't believe it, A. And B, I was a little disenchanted with some of the people out there because this was a bad thing for the team. Now, I say that with the caveat they're winning more than they had all year right now, and they're winning more than they have all year without Yu Darvish, without Joe Musgrove, without Fernando Tatis Jr., where they're doing all of this without their big four, and that's pretty incredible.
That is.
But when Xander Bogaerts gets back, I'm going to welcome him back into this lineup as soon as I can because I think that he is that much of a difference. Although his batting average in the beginning of the year, his slugging, his OPS, all that stuff wasn't up to par with what he's done in his career, I do think that inserting him back into the lineup is going to give this whole lineup another different look. And maybe there was like a couple games where Luis Arraez was on the team with Xander Bogaerts while he was still active, but there haven't been many games that they've played together. So I really want to see what Xander Bogaerts and Luis Arraez can do in the lineup together. I know that Jake Cronenworth is a great second baseman, but he's too valuable to obviously take out of the lineup, but he's too valuable because he can play pretty much any position you want him to play in the infield. He can probably play any position you want in the outfield, maybe not center field.
I do have a quick question.
Yes, what's up?
Because I see Brandon and Dan, I think, in the chat. Let me just make sure I got the name right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was Brandon and Dan. I was wondering the same thing. What do you think they do with Solano? Because he's produced pretty effectively.
It's a great question. I think that Solano... Here's a little preview of my countdown of top five things I was wrong about the Padres coming into the year. Donnie Barrels, yes.
Yes, he's been killing it.
I was wrong about him. He has been huge for this team. He's going to have to stay in the lineup. There's zero chance of him. The problem is, as you just asked, where are they going to put him?
Right.
And on certain days, I think, Manny's back into playing third base pretty much every single day at this point. He's not going to be DHing much, it doesn't seem like. And Donovan Solano has to be in this lineup right now. He's had too many clutch hits recently. He's drove in too many clutch runs recently. And out of the two, he and David Peralta, I got to say that Donovan Solano is the one that's been better so far this year, but David Peralta just basically hit a game-winning home run a couple nights ago against the Rangers. That was huge. So, and I tweeted this out. I said, once again, A.J. Preller, or once again, a veteran bench piece that A.J. Preller brought in comes up with a clutch hit. And that's the biggest difference, I think, from between this year and last year, is that A.J. Preller has brought in guys that are able to hit situationally and are able to slow the game down a little bit. And you see it with Donovan Solano. He works the count. And then David Peralta, same thing. And David Peralta hasn't had as much opportunity as Donovan Solano, because Solano's just been in that lineup every single day. And so those guys are going to be fine, but you have to find a way to keep that Solano bat in the lineup. And it's a great question. I have no idea where they're going to play, unless they tell Xander Bogaerts that, you know, we're going to have you DH for a little bit until we put you back in the field. But it's, this is a great question. I have no idea where they're going to put Solano.
I need to think about
this a little bit.
Peralta too, because obviously he's more of a bench piece for them right now, but he's been pretty like effective. I feel like he's been quite worth the, the while.
David Peralta has definitely been worth the while, but I would say if they were going to make a roster move today, I don't know that they go with David Peralta, but I would say out of the two, Solano and Peralta, you're going with Solano on the roster. You're going to keep him there. And David Peralta might be put down into AAA or something like that. But there are so many questions up in the air, and this is a good thing for the Padres. This is the good thing for us to talk
about. It's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. You have too many guys that are too good to get in the lineup. But I'm going to have to think about that Donovan Solano and where he plays, because that blows up my entire Luis Arraez DH theory. And it also, because he's mostly, I know he plays, you know what, before I go any further, I'm going to look up some stuff in the break, and then we're going to finish up this Donovan Solano talk. But we also need to talk about Luis Campusano, too. And we can do that on the other side, because Luis Campusano has been doing some work in the single A Lake Elsinore, for the single A Lake Elsinore Storm. He's moving his way back. I don't know what they're going to do with the catching situation. Brett Sullivan hasn't really had much of an opportunity as of late, because Kyle Higashioka has been so good, but Luis Campusano is getting back into form. His thumb injury is healing, so we'll talk about that too as we go along. But if you have anything you wanted to say, or if you have any opinions on what we've talked about so far, please give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we get back, we are going to be talking about Luis Campusano. We're also going to go over some of the results of our Daily Gambit for the other day. And then our countdown at 3:40. Top five things I was wrong about the Padres. So I'm sure you all are looking forward to that. All of that is next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.